If you will turn with me to Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter, verses 12 and 13. Jude 12 and 13. Now, it's speaking about false prophets, false teachers, but I want us to look at it, and then we're going to do something with it. These men, speaking about false teachers, are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees, without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. This is a description given of false teachers, and undoubtedly we could spend hours today discussing that topic because we are rife with it. I thought as I was, we were off Friday for an in-service, and they didn't have a lot for us to do, so we were just in the classroom doing some things. So one of the other aides found the Billy Graham funeral and was listening to it, and it was playing in the classroom. And they were, you know, making the breathless announcements of who were there. And they were listing the evangelists and going, or TV personalities or whatever they call themselves these days. And they gushed over Joel Osteen. I thought, what a transformation from when Billy Graham was the voice of Christianity in America to when Joel Osteen is. But I don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with the opposite of that today. Jude gives us these four characteristics, but I want to talk about how necessary it is to have the opposite of them in our lives. We all can doubtless think of a multitude of people who are characterized by these four attributes: clouds without rain, trees twice dead, wild waves, and wandering stars. But I want to talk about how we in these days, in keeping with what Paul said, to be stars that shine in the heavens, need to be the opposite. We need to be rainy clouds. Now, we live in a part of the world where rain is not really an issue. Oh yeah, they talk about, you know, there's going to be a drought, but even in a drought, we get about 3 inches of rain a month, between 3 and 4 inches of rain a month, every single month of the year here in Philadelphia area. In the land that Jesus lived in and that the apostles were a part of, that was not the case. Having been in Israel on numerous occasions, I know what it is to look out over the Mediterranean Sea from the coast of Israel and see clouds on the horizon. You think, oh, it's going to rain because the prevailing winds come from the west, as they do here. And you'll see the clouds billowing out over the Med. And evening comes and the sun sets and nothing happens, and you wake up the next morning and it's a clear day. Clouds without rain. And we need to be rainy clouds. Let's be perfectly honest about something. We're growing a generation that is filled with anger and hate. I know there's been all kinds of calls for legislation about guns. Since there's, 300-400 million guns in America, if we stopped manufacturing them today, that's not going to solve the problem. Seventy years ago, 50 years ago when I was a young man. There were more guns per capita than there are today. There were zero school shootings. None. Since Columbine, there have been 23 mass killings in schools. 23 since Columbine, 24 counting Columbine. It's not because we have more guns. I heard some politician, crazy idiot politician, going, "These guns are the worst. This AR-15, this brand new weapon." The AR-15 was first released in the very early 60s and was sent to Vietnam in its machine form, the M16. It's not a new thing. It's been around for almost as long as I have, and I'm getting up there. Bottom line is, we have people today that are filled with anger and hatred. And they've had that stoked by clouds without rain. They were promised, buy this game system and you'll never be bored. And they're bored. Buy into this philosophy and it will satisfy your heart. At the school where I teach, it's take yoga and meditation and think about how good you are, and it does nothing. And they are desperate for a rainy cloud. And we have the rain. We have to be that rainy cloud. Not perfect, but someone who brings hope. Not false hope. Not a happy message. We'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus didn't, but people flocked to him. It's going to be very difficult because they've been deceived so many times. They've seen so many times that the clouds were on the horizon. That they look at us and they think that we're going to be the exact same way. And it is incumbent upon us to prove to them that they're wrong. That we're there for them. That we're not just one more person. You think about this. In some communities in the United States, think about this. In some communities in the United States, 70% of the live births do not have a father and mother in the home. 7 out of 10. I had kids. I know how hard it is to raise kids when you have two parents. I look even in the special needs community. I see kids that know stuff about evil that I didn't dream of knowing. They know what I knew maybe as a 15 or 16 or 17 year old. They know it as a 6-year-old. Often because the adults in their life have taught them it. One of the things with special needs kids is they script. They'll latch on to a piece of a sentence or a thought, and they'll play it over and over and over and over again in their head, and they'll repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And some of the things that the kids, the 5 and 6 year olds repeat in my class, would make your hair stand up. They've had clouds without rain. They promised them something and it never came about. Second of all, it says they're dead trees. Just one more comment about that before we go on. It's not perfection. It's being real. I remember Pastor Tucker telling me a story. Before he was a pastor, the Pastor Tucker who I used to pray with, he's a pastor at Mount Olivet Baptist in Glassboro, has been for longer than I've been here, so a long time. I can remember him saying that he worked out in the secular world before he was a pastor. And he was witnessing to a guy at work over and over and over again. And the guy would ask him questions, and he'd always have an answer for it. And people think, that's amazing, you're so smart. No, the devil only has so many questions, and he recycles them over and over. And every person I've ever met thinks that they're really smart and that they know this question. Oh, I've got a question for you, like you've never heard it before. And they hit you with this question, you go, yeah, that's the same one everybody says. But they don't know that because the devil doesn't say, hey, I'm just recycling my stupid stuff because I don't have anything better. The devil convinces them that it's the be-all and end-all question in the universe. And when they ask it, and when you give them an answer, they're like, oh, you're just making that up. Because nobody could answer that question right off the top of their head. But you can, but this guy had been going back and forth with him for months. And it takes months of conversation with most people to bring them to Christ. Most people don't come to Christ, I walk up. Or if I do that with you, it's because 93 other people have talked to you first. There aren't a lot of people talking about Christ today, so most of us have to do almost all the work ourselves. We can't reap off of what somebody else did because there aren't a lot of people. There's nobody out knocking on doors today. They're not getting it in school. They're not having prayer and Bible reading in school. Let's scratch that one off. They haven't for over 50 years. So we have to do all of that over and over and over again. Now, Ron Tucker, this guy came up to him one day. He goes, you know, I've got this weird question. What do you think about? And he shot a question at him. And it was not one of those standard ones that Satan, God had been working in his heart. He was starting to come up with some real questions. He looked at Ron and he asked the question, and Ron looked at him and goes, I don't have a clue. I've never heard that question before. I'll have to do some research. And the guy goes, wow, I'm ready to become a Christian. Ron goes, what? I couldn't answer the question. He goes, yeah, but you were honest about it. You always had an answer, and I thought you were just making it up off the top of your head, but the fact that you wouldn't just give me an answer off the top of your head when you didn't know, this stuff is really true, isn't it? He said, yeah, it is. He said, that's it. I'm ready. It's not perfection. It's honesty. It's reality. It's being a cloud with some rain in it. Second of all, twice dead trees. People are looking for something that satisfies their spiritual hunger. And the sugary snacks of TV evangelism haven't met their needs. There's no nutrition in it. And they look on the horizon in Israel, seeing trees. You know, if I were to walk out just about any door in this building, I could probably see several dozen trees just from any place around this building. In my house, I can't see anywhere because there's trees in every direction. But in Jesus' day, trees were a very rare thing in Israel. It was a very barren landscape. At least in South Israel. When you saw a tree on the horizon, that gave you some hope. Maybe there's some fruit. And when you got there and the tree was dead, another shattered hope. People are looking for something substantial. And you know how we show substantialness? It is not in our victories. It's not, I just won the Super Bowl and I'm going to Disneyland. It's the way we weather the problems we face. Name me the person in the Bible that didn't go through, most of them, horrific hardship. whether it's David or Moses or the prophets, whether it's Joshua, on and on and on and on. Find me the person that didn't. What? And the Bible never hides that. The Bible never hides their struggles, does it? It doesn't present a God who took care of their, you know, evil men came against them and they stood like Superman and the bullets bounced off them and the arrows, you know, bounced away and they walked through the storm. I don't know if any of you have seen the new Star Wars movie, but there's this scene where Luke Skywalker, they blast him with all this stuff and he stands there. There's not a person in the Bible that did that. Especially God in the flesh. Now we want that, but we know it's not real. It's a fantasy. It's stupid. And people don't believe that anymore. They're looking for someone that when the chips are down, they don't crumble like an empty soda can. They're looking for someone that when their world falls apart, they have the ability to press on. And to do so without all of the carrying on that the world does, the cursing and swearing and blaming and shaming and on. That's why the verse we looked at last week in Philippians 2 says, do everything without complaining. It's hard to do, but the world's looking for it in us. They're looking for us for it in little things. What's Matthew 5:37 say? Anybody know? Matthew 5:37. Look it up. Matthew 5:37. It's a very simple verse. Matthew 5:37. Look it up. Nope. But a good one. Simple thing. You're going to know it. You just don't know that this is the verse. You know the verse. Let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no. You know, that's so simple. Just tell the truth. When you say something, do it. Don't give an excuse. But the world lives with people that just don't do what they say. Years and years ago, my father, there was a fellow that was sort of a neighbor to us up there. You know, if you live 10 miles away, you're a neighbor. Some of you who have been to where my mom lives knows that. But he was the guy that owned the little store in the center of Roseville. It's been gone for 20 years now. But there was this little general store there. Oh, he had the best rotisserie chickens. Oh, we'd get them every Sunday after church. They were so good. And he couldn't make a go of it anymore. You know, the people were running to, you know, the big stores 10 miles away. And he closed up, sold out, and he went into the car business. And my dad went over and bought a car from him. Worked for the Ford garage, Ford dealership, bought a car. And as my dad was buying the car, he asked him to put undercoating on it. Up there, there's lots of salt. And if you were back in the 80s, you'd drive down the road and the bottom 4 inches of every car would just be, you know, a blank spot where there was some rust on both sides and there'd be a line down the middle of the body with nothing. He said they'd spray like this tar stuff on the under to try to protect it from the salt. He said, I need the car today, but can my wife bring it back in tomorrow or the next day, you know, when I have my other car and get it? Sure. As they were walking out, my dad looked across the street and he saw they had white Freightliner standing there. Big tractor trailer cab overs. He said, you sell whites? He said, yeah. He said, my company's going to be buying five of them in the next 4 or 5 months. Oh, let me bid on that. Sure, I'd be glad to. Drove away in the car. Next day, my mother drove the car back and said, I'm here for the undercoating. My husband said to come in and get it done. He said, oh, it's not on the invoice. He signed the invoice. It's not on the invoice. She said, my son and my husband were right here, and you said just bring it in and you do it. Well, if I'd have said that, I'd have written it on the invoice. My mom got in the car and drove away. A few months later, that fella saw my dad at a church supper and came up to him and said, hey, when are you going to buy those trucks? And he said, about 2 months ago. He said, you said you'd let me bid on them. And he said, yeah, and you told me that you'd spray undercoating on my car. Now I know who you are, and now you know what I think of that. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. If you're not going to do it, tell somebody. Don't lead them along. Don't give them a false hope. Don't give them a false assurance. Don't blow smoke up their nose. Tell them, no, I can't do that. If you can, then follow through on what you say. Boy, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? The older I get, the harder it is. Not because I don't want to do it, God, just forget. As somebody said, I resemble that remark. So you got to write things down. You got to take that extra step. You don't know how much somebody might be counting on something small from you. And if you say yes, just do it. I shared in testimony time about my dentist that just filled my tooth for free. I could have paid something. I offered to. Wouldn't have killed me. But I appreciate what he did. Yeah, I've been going there for 20 years, more than 20 years. I'm sure that he's made money on me because I've had crowns and everything else. But he didn't have to do that. He didn't owe me anything. Those things make a difference. We need not to be trees that are dead. Number three. Rogue waves. Notice what it says, verse 13, they are wild waves of the sea. For a long time, when I was a child, there was a real question about whether rogue waves even existed or not. There were captains that would talk about, my ship got hit, and they'd see damage on ships, and they'd say, you ran aground, you did something wrong. And the captain would say, no, I was hit with a rogue wave, and they couldn't prove it. And in the 1980s, they finally caught one on film. It was a 90-foot wave in a sea of 20-feet waves. And it washed into this oil rig, you know, these giant oil rigs out in the middle of the ocean, and it almost swamped the thing. And they continue to happen. Just in 2010, there was a cruise ship hit by a 26-foot, on calm seas, was hit by a 26-foot wave, killed two passengers. Washed in through the glass on one of the decks. It was not one of these super huge 5,000 passenger ships. It was a smaller cruise ship on the Mediterranean. It washed through the glass and killed two different people. And you know, we are filled with rogue waves today. They come out of nowhere. These school shootings are just one more example. They're everywhere. They're on the highway. You don't know if you're just driving down the highway, somebody thinks you did something, they'll start shooting at you. Rogue waves. I was talking the other day, since we had Friday as an in-service day, I was talking to the girl, well, she's not a girl anymore, she's older. Her sister was hit right out here by Five Points. A woman claimed she cut her off and deliberately ran into her and shoved her car off the road and backed up and slammed into the car 5 or 6 times. She spent 6 or 7 years having surgeries and unable to work. She's finally, 9 years later, finally back to work. But she got nothing for it. because the woman's insurance company said it wasn't an accident, it was a vehicular assault. We don't insure against vehicular assaults. We don't owe a thing on it. And the woman immediately declared bankruptcy and had nothing anyway. So now she's suing her own insurance company, which is apparently in New Jersey what you have to do. And 9 years later, she still hasn't gotten anything from them. And the woman was my age. She wasn't some 20-year-old. She was over 50. Slammed into this girl. Maybe the girl cut her off. I don't know. We all do stupid stuff on the road. But you don't expect that somebody's going to slam you off the road and try to kill you over it. And in a world of rogue waves, we need to be those gentle waves. You know, waves are absolutely essential. They are absolutely needed for our world. If we did not have a moon, life could not exist on Earth. Because those waves, created by as the moon orbits around us and the tides pull in and out and back and forth and all that, that's what cleans the ocean. And we need to be those gentle waves that clean the people around us. I remember before I was saved, I got saved right before my 16th birthday. As a 15-year-old, I had one of the foulest mouths I knew. I was certainly the most foul-mouthed of all my friends. My friend's parents hated when I spent time around their children because they began to talk like I did after I left. I was muddying them with my filth. We need to be the opposite of that. We need to be the people that clean those around us, like those ocean waves. I remember those days, and those days are not that far gone, and they still exist in some places where we can, hey guys, have a great trip. Where we can be those people that people say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Those gentle waves that clean the ocean. That means we need to know the truth. Look at Ephesians 4. Verse 14, Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Now this verse comes right after the verses where it says he gave some to be prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to edify the church, to build up the body, till we all reach maturity. And then he says, and that's why, you know, watching church on TV just doesn't cut it. That's why we need to be together on a regular basis. But then he goes on and says, then we'll no longer be like little children, tossed to and fro by the waves, back and forth. We will be those waves that don't blow all over the place. Because we know what we believe and we live it. You talk to people today, Satan, it has got to be, at least promote in others, utter insanity, because you talk to people that don't know Christ and they will hold two opinions that are the exact opposite at the same time and argue for both of them in the same breath. It's insanity. But they will. And we need to be the ones who are consistent. They'll argue out of one side of their mouth. No one over 21, under 21 is mature enough to have a gun, but now they're passing a law that a child down to single digits can go to a school administrator or a school teacher and say, I think I'm the other sex, I want to get an operation, and they can, the school can take them and have a sex reassignment operation without the parents' permission. I think. Yeah? No. It's not fully passed yet, but that's what they're working on. And if you don't think it'll go through, it may not go through this year. It may not go through next year. But 30 years ago, if somebody would have said, we'll have homosexual marriage in America, how many people said that'll never happen? They just kept pushing year after year after year after year, and look where we are today. And the people that were advocating for it was, you can't be cruel by making them face their parents to tell about this decision. We just need to do it to guard them from their parents. We need to be the kind of steady waves in a sea of craziness. Of rogue waves everywhere. Last of all, his fourth illustration, verse 13, in Jude. They are wandering stars. We need to be fixed stars. We need to be fixed stars. Everything's changing. Everything's shifting. This isn't anything new. Do you remember the hymn? It wasn't written yesterday. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's always been that way. It's just we have lived in a country of such stability and still having the residue of Christian light, that we've forgotten that we are in a hostile world that hates Jesus and that he's coming back to conquer as king. And we need to be the fixed stars, the stars that don't move, that don't shift, that don't change. I am stunned by politicians today, that they will flip and say the exact opposite of what they said 10 years ago, and now everybody's on videotape. And it blows my mind. But you think about how much people today have been disappointed. They look to the politicians and look what you get. You look to Hollywood, and boy, they are so quick to stand up and lecture everyone else and wag their fingers. And then what they hide behind the doors, they open the doors a crack and something gets out of their lives, and you find out that they are just wandering stars. They're worse off than we are. They're just richer doing it. Do you see the latest one, Alec Baldwin? Oh, it's an agony for me to play Trump. Agony. Do you understand what the word agony means? Do you want to go over to Syria and be one of those people hurled off a building and then stoned to death after they hit the ground? That's agony. You showing up and getting a massive paycheck to do something that's so unfunny that it's just why even bother? And that's agony, maybe agony for me. That's why I don't watch it. But you're complaining about your life? We need to be fixed stars. We need to be that person that somebody knows. Now, they may not be asking the question today or tomorrow, but they are one crisis in their life away from being desperately in search of something. I remember the day I showed up for church a little early, years ago. There was a woman sitting on the step, bawling. I brought her into the church. The church was locked. I brought her, what's... My son was in a car accident. They don't know whether he'll live or die. I don't know who to turn to. So I saw the church and I said, I just need to pray to God. I don't know how many hours I spent with that woman over the next months as her son rehabilitated. She made a profession of faith and began to serve the Lord. Then the day came that she walked away. And a few months later, I got a phone call, and she said, I know I haven't been living for Christ. I know I haven't been doing what I ought to be. I haven't been out to church, but would you come pray for me? I'm going to have surgery. Sure. Drove over. It was a routine surgery. It wasn't any big deal, but we began to talk, and as I talked to her, I said, you need to get your life right with Christ today. Well, once the surgery's over, I don't want anyone at church to think that I'm just coming back because I'm going to have that surgery. I said, well, even if they do think that, if you continue to come after you have the surgery, they'll know they were wrong. You need to not put that back. And we talked. I went back 2 or 3 days. Finally, she said, you're right. She confessed her sin and asked to be taken back. And she died on the table during the surgery. What would have happened if she hadn't had a fixed star? Now, before her son was in that accident, she wasn't looking for anything from God. She thought her life was perfect. She was one crisis away from absolute desperation. You don't know who in your life is one crisis away from absolute desolation. Today, shut up about that, Jesus. I don't want to hear about prayer. I don't want to hear about the Bible. Oh, that's fine for you. You don't know that tomorrow they're not going to be knocking at your door saying, they said it's stage 4 cancer. 5 months. My husband had a heart attack. They don't know if he's going to make it. I don't know what I'll do. They're laying off at work. I'm 52 years old. Nobody wants to hire a 52-year-old. I probably won't have a job in a few weeks. You don't know when that knock will come on your door, but it won't come if you haven't been a fixed star in their life. And I'll tell you, it's hard to be a fixed star today. It really is. Because it doesn't seem anybody's watching. People don't know where to look today. They are looking to the stupidest places on earth. But we don't need to get every one of them. Who's the one that tomorrow will need a fixed star?
And there aren't any.
And they'll turn to yoga or the palm readers or the tarot card because they don't know where to look because they haven't had a fixed star. And we're the fixed star. I had a couple more verses, but I'm way late. We've got to have communion. I want to end with just an observation. We have a lot of testimonies that people need to hear here. You know, often we think that it's only our testimonies. But there's a lot of testimonies here that people need to hear. And that's why God puts us in a body. And that's why bodies ought to be like this rather than the 3,000 people in an auditorium to see a show. Because we need to know each other's testimonies. There's a big thing on the opioid epidemic and the very people. Everyone is now admitting the people who caused this are doctors. The doctors caused it. No, hands down, no question about that. So who do we go to for the solution? Doctors! It's insanity. And people know it. We have people sitting right here, 10, 15, 20 years, more, redeemed from drugs. There's hope. There's hope. And not one of them would say, well, I'm a special case. You know, I wasn't like those run-of-the-mill addicts that were losers. I was something special. Amen? Fixed stars. Fixed stars. There are people here who have a tremendous testimony, and that testimony, I've never given in to all that evil. God redeemed me before I gave my life to craziness, and He's kept me out of it my whole life. And there's some person whose life is in shambles, to know that there still is a normal life. You can have it today. Not a perfect life. Anybody here don't have any struggles? Fixed stars. We have people here who have gone through some pretty terrible stuff. People within their family who turned their backs on them, who betrayed them. Employment situations where companies abused them. Financial upheavals. But you know what the key word is in most of those? They came through them. Fixed stars. That's the light that we need to shine in a darkened world. Not come to Jesus and I'll stand up on the thing and smile like a Cheshire cat. Because I'm having my best life every day. That's not real. There's no one on earth that has that. Real victory. Fixed stars. Let's bow together. Oh God. In a world of shifting sands, may we be the opposite of those false teachers. May we be rainy clouds, offering real hope. May we be trees that bear fruit. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will bear fruit. May we be those gentle cleansing waves, not the rogue waves dashing about, smashing all in sight. May we be fixed stars. Settled in our place in the heavens, raised up in Christ, and ready to point the way to the one who's the hope to everyone who's lost, looking for a guide. In Jesus' name.